And welcome back to
the High Crimes Podcast.
I am Kelly.
And I am Jenna.
Yes. And
we're still alive.
We are. We had to take a little bit of a hiatus. Had a lot of things going on. Some illnesses going on. Don't worry, everybody's fine. But yeah, so why don't you tell our lovely listeners, Jenna, what you have been up to?
So in the last podcast, I mentioned that I was going to school, and most of the reason why we stopped recording episodes was because my school schedule, my work schedule, and my kids' schedule is just way too much, and I was already overwhelmed. I was like, the last thing I need is to be researching murders and recording about them.
Right, because what I don't think our listeners know is that I am just talent. Like, you are talent, the producer, the director, the...
Yeah, I do everything.
IT, get everything set up, so I just show up and do my thing and...
Media and marketing, all that fun stuff, so I was like, I just don't have the capacity to be doing all of this right now. On top of, after we recorded in November... I started pursuing and like actually thinking about what am I going to do with my degree. And if I mentioned before, I said I wanted to become a police officer. Well, my mom, Miss Kelly over here, knows someone who works at the OC Sheriff's Department.
So yes, I was like, I do.
Shoot, why not? Let's do it. So I looked at the requirements and all the other things, and a lot of the requirements are physical health and endurance. And mm-hmm. So I started going to the gym as well. I signed up for a race so that I could have the motivation to train for the academy. So on top of all of that, I was also going to the gym 5 nights a week. So I was burned out. I was tired. Yeah, so...
But she ripped now. She ripped.
Things that I thought I was never going to be able to do, I can do now. So it's pretty cool to get on the treadmill and run for 5 miles, and you're like, okay, what's next? Yeah. You know, whereas before, when I ran a mile or jogged a mile, I was like, holy Jesus God, please say,
Drive 5 miles and I'm exhausted, so,
Right, so... That's what I've been up to. Last month in May, I actually applied for the sheriff's department and was accepted into the interview process. So I made it past the application process into the testing phase, and took the test and passed.
Of course you did.
So I went into the investigative interview. However, there was one thing on my... interview that they were like, you need to wait. So I was like, all right, no big deal, because in my research I saw that was a requirement already and I had just forgotten. Yeah. I got really excited that they were accepting applications.
Yeah, you went in thinking, I in the back of your mind, this one little thing you were thinking already, hold me up,
I forgot about this, but I already applied, I might as well go. I stressed about this test for 2 weeks while I was still in school, going to school part-time. I also was studying for this test, and I was stressed, and I was tired, and I was, I had to train to do a mile and a half in 14 minutes, and then 20 push-ups in 2 minutes, and 20 sit-ups in 2 minutes, and it was hard. It was really hard. A mile and a half in 14 minutes is a fast run for me.
All while being a full-time employee at a regular job and single mom.
I actually have two jobs.
Yeah. So, oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And a mom and then school 30 hours a week.
Right.
So it was just like, it was a lot. But I did pass. However, because of this one thing that I'm not going to mention because I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to reapply in January. So right now I'm training for a race. It's an obstacle course race, which I'm super excited about, in July. And I'm just about ready for it. I've been training for 2 months, and I'm in my second month of the training regimen that I've been doing. And I've noticed huge improvements in my physical endurance, in my mostly my leg strength. My arms need a lot of work because let's just face it, my muscles are atrophied from never working out.
Well, that and you have the weight of the world on your shoulders. Yeah, so.
So, but now I have more time. I have been, you know, up to some shenanigans and fuckery.
Yes.
Lately, so.
Lots of shenanigans and plenty
a lot of
fuckery.
Time, but it's more time than I did when I was going to school part.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I've been up to. No health issues on my end. I got the flu once for a day, and I'd already taken the day off work for the next day, so it was like, whatever. I've just been working out, spending time with the kids, and going out, traveling a lot, going on lots of day trips and weekend trips.
Yeah.
My last trip was to Solvang, and I went to Big Bear, and... have a birthday photo shoot coming up.
Oh yeah.
The big 3-0.
The big 3-0.
Big 3-0. So it's a funeral for my
20s.
it's gonna be really fun. And then another Vegas trip for my birthday.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. And then graduation.
Yes. Yes. Graduation coming up here in just a few weeks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ooh. Excuse me.
The reason I went first was because she has way more things to talk about.
It's just because I'm old and I'm together. The family Christmas thing.
It might not have recorded any of that.
Oh, no. Do we keep going?
It's up to you if you want to. My screen fell asleep, so when it falls asleep, I don't think it continues recording.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Do you want to check it, and then we can always redo?
Let's take a quick pause.
Yeah. Okay, so what happened was, the computer cut out, and it cut off part of what I was saying. So, what I was saying was, I'm old and I'm brittle. when we last recorded, I had been seeing someone named Jeff. We had been seeing each other for a couple of months. Well, in December, I went to his family's family Christmas gathering at his brother's house. And there were lots of people there, and I had a good time. And 2 days later, I tested positive for COVID.
Like everyone did,
like,
right?
Well, no, it was just like two or three of us that got it. One of the nephews there had it, and he, as soon as he found out, he told everybody, and then, you know, everybody told everybody else. And so I left work, went and got tested, and sure enough, I got COVID. Now, this was a week before Christmas, exactly 1 week before Christmas. Mm-hmm. So I was a little bummed because I couldn't spend Christmas with my youngest daughter, Jenna's sister, and then I had to stay away from the grandkids, and it kind of put a damper on our Christmas plans.
An already extremely stressful holiday.
Yes, very stressful holiday, but it worked out. I mean, it turned out to be just fine. January rolled around, and I got engaged. Woo! Yeah, Jeff popped the question. He gave me a really beautiful diamond ring. And I said yes, and of course. So we got to celebrate that. I got the stomach flu the very next day. It was embarrassing. And
she was sick.
I was very, very sick for like 4 days. I was very sick.
This was when I got the flu. I actually got the flu a couple days before.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the kids had it either before or after me, and then you got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
we share germs in this family.
Yes, we do. Yes. let's see. I broke my leg in April. I was singing on a stage, and I stepped off of the riser on a stage and broke my ankle. I had to keep going, though. We weren't done with the show. So
The show must go on.
So I...
we're having a really tough time today.
Yes, we are having some technical difficulties. And, you know, we're just Yeah. Anyway. yeah, so I went into the green room. There's this part where we didn't, the singers didn't have to be on stage. And I was like, oh my gosh, I really hurt my ankle. And then we came back out on stage and I, you know, had to do the best I could because we had like, I don't know, 1,500 people watching in the audience. Plus, it was online and there were a couple of other buildings where it was being aired. So I had to like suck it up a little bit. finished that. Went to urgent care and sure enough, broken leg. But not much else has happened since. I'm out of the cast, out of the boot. Yeah, I'm fine.
Smooth writing for right now.
For now, yeah. Waiting for the other shoe to drop.
We're counting the other shoe as the rising gas prices.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I'm about to call into work, can't afford to drive there.
No kidding. I told my boss the other day, I said, if the price of gas keeps going up, I'm going to start working from home. And she knows how much I hate to work from home.
Right. Yes, ma'am. We're in Southern California, so right now gas is at the gas station I go to. Sorry, I'm moving the microphone, so it's probably loud. $6.20 a gallon.
And I have to put premium in my car, so it's right at $7 a gallon.
$7, yeah.
The last time, and I don't drive a big sedan. I drive a smaller car.
It's small.
Small.
S-M-O-L. Small. And,
but it's also a sporty little car. So, so I drive it like it's a sports car.
It is a sports car.
but the last time I had to get gas in it, it was $100. $101 to be exact. And I almost flipped a gasket. Yeah, it was insane.
I do flip a gasket because gas is expensive and I make a quarter of what she makes.
Yeah.
And I drive all the time.
All the time. If we ever go anywhere together, we take her car.
Uh-huh.
Because it's more comfortable.
I drive a lot for work. My friends live in Long Beach and the other side of Huntington Beach, close to Seal Beach.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So whenever I, you know, when we try to all take turns on driving.
Yeah,
so, you know,
fair.
I've got to go up there. Recently we had a family member pass and, her funeral was all the way up in LA,
yeah.
Way at the top of a hill. and so I, you know, like I,
for those of you who don't know, we are not in LA.
No. that's a long ways.
Yes.
And then driving up a hill, you know,
yeah.
Your car has to work harder. So it was just like, I actually went halves on gas.
Yeah.
Because I was like, there's no way I can afford this whole trip.
Yeah.
There's no way. So gas has been kind of pricey. I have a credit card that is maxed out. And the last time I logged in to make sure I had money to buy gas, it was actually minus
over the limit.
It was over the limit, $125.
Oh,
and I
gosh.
Was like, when did this happen? Like, that's how expensive gas is and how much I drive.
Yeah.
So I just put $200 on this card and it's negative. So it's funny now, but it was not funny when I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
that's not good.
No.
So that's gas. But other than that, everything else has been going relatively smoothly.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. We just found out what the increase would be on our rent.
Oh, yeah. We're going to re-sign.
And yeah, we're going to re-sign because it wasn't nearly as much as I anticipated. I anticipated three times it being what it was. So that it was only, you know,
it was only $100.
It was only $100, which is cheap compared to what it would cost us to move.
Yeah.
So everything's going smoothly. We're just going to ride the increase.
Yeah, and just we're going to make it work.
Yeah.
And then
make it work. Make it work.
So. I'm not dating anyone, so nothing new on that front. I actually swore off of dating in 2021,
mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if I mentioned this, but
I think
did.
I think you forgot to tell 2022.
Also in 2022, you know what? I do tarot. I draw tarot. And so at the beginning of every year, you do a year pull. And so you do one tarot card for each month, and that's the theme of your month. And then you do another one, 13, for the theme of your year. Okay. And this year, I drew the Lovers. Mm. My theme is the Lovers. And I was like, oh, I'm going to find true love. You know, all this other BS. But that means that I actually have to go outside and meet people. And I was like, that's not going to happen. Because so,
people.
Yeah. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to focus more on my career and my self growth journey some more, and then, you know, whatever's in the cards for me will eventually, you know, come forward, I guess, but I'm not really rushing it, and I'm not interested either. I've been disappointed so many times that I'm like, I don't even want to try. At this point, I'd rather be single.
But you know what, and that's good, because I think you should probably be single for a little while and be you've always been comfortable with being alone, so like that's not an issue for you.
Mm-hmm.
But
my problem is I like being alone more than I want to be with somebody.
Yeah.
So now I have to find somebody that I want to be alone with.
Right. Yeah.
No. My computer fell asleep again. I'm really about to lose my mind right here. So my computer fell asleep, like I just mentioned, and it didn't catch a lot of what I said, which I don't remember what I said, but it was essentially talking about how I prefer my peace.
Yes.
So,
yes.
If I exit here,
I don't remember what you said either, because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah, so
kidding!
I'm she was looking right at me. I'm going to try and fix that while we get into the murder. What
okay. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start. I think I'm going to move this a little closer.
Okay.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to be smarter than the object you're working with, and sometimes I'm not that smart. Okay. Guys and dolls, put on your seatbelts. Get out the tissues. Because this one is a little sad. In fact, I debated if I wanted to do this one or not.
I am already really sad because of the death in our family.
I know.
It was rough
but
for her.
This one happened. We are just shy, like weeks shy of it being 20 years.
Oh, wow.
So, just a tiny little bit of a background for those of you who are new or maybe need a reminder. Jenna and I are not from California. We were both, well, our whole family is from a small town in New Mexico. We moved to California in 2000 when Jenna was young.
I was 8.
Yeah. So when I say on this podcast, oh, I remember this happening, if it happened in California, we lived here. And I remember this happening and just how horrible the whole thing is. So today I'm going to talk about the kidnapping, rape, and murder of Samantha Runyon, who was
familiar.
A 5-year-old little girl.
No.
So sorry, Jenna. I know, it's really sad.
I have a 4-year-old, so
this
is going to be rough.
Yeah. So this happened.
On a lighter note, I think I fixed the screen falling asleep issue.
Oh, okay. Awesome. Well, we about to find out. All right. On July 15th, 2002, in Stanton, California, 5-year-old Samantha Runyon was playing a board game on the front yard of her house with her 6-year-old playmate. Alejandro Avila, who was cruising the area, approached the girls and asked if they had seen his Chihuahua dog. Samantha, who was an animal lover herself and even owned a cat, approached the vehicle and said, "How big is it?" Avila then snatched the girl, threw her in the back of his vehicle, and drove off. Samantha kicked and screamed, but Avila did not let her go. She screamed to her friend, "Tell my grandma, tell my grandma." So this little five-year-old girl had the knowledge, you know, and she was probably so terrified.
I bet you she was.
So terrified. I just can't even imagine. Her body was found the next day in neighboring Riverside County. She had been sexually molested and posed, almost as if the killer was showing off his work. And I remember this happening because we lived literally
like, right down the street.
Like a mile and a half mm-hmm. from where this happened.
Oh my God. And no wonder you were like
yeah,
shot.
I was like a... I was one of those parents that my kids never went out of my sight. Never. Because I was just too paranoid. I had seen it too many times.
Mm-hmm.
Even when I was a child, I had seen... I mean, not witnessed with my own eyes, but... you know, news stories and things like that of it happening.
And we read about it and talk about it on the podcast now.
Right. Yeah, and still, even then, I feel a little, you know, as a mother and a grandmother.
Yeah, I'm the same way about my kids. When they want to go out and play, I'm like, no.
Yeah, yeah.
You need an adult with
right,
you.
Right, right. The playmate of Samantha, who was the only eyewitness to the abduction, provided a portrait of the kidnapper. The drawing revealed a Hispanic male with a mustache, slicked black hair, brown eyes between 25 and 35 years old, and he drove a light green Honda. On July 18th, investigators received a tip to look into Alejandro Avila, who had been acquitted in 2001 of sexually molesting his ex-girlfriend's 9-year-old daughter and her cousin.
Oh.
Yeah. Serial predator.
If that was my daughter that he had done that to, he would be 6 feet under.
Oh, yeah. Right yeah. Oh, no. He wouldn't have the pleasure of being 6 feet under. He would be 2,000 feet under.
No, he'd be
in the ocean.
Somewhere.
He would be
being tortured until his
buried under that prison.
Very slow, inevitable death.
So... the police soon discovered that Avila, who lived with his mother and sister, came home very late the night Samantha was abducted and could not account for his whereabouts. As the investigation continued, the evidence against Avila became more damning. He was formally charged for Samantha's death on July 23rd, 2002. So that was literally 8 days later. The cops had him. 8 days later.
Damn.
Yeah. They weren't fucking around. Wait. 15? Yeah, 8 days later.
Math
is hard. And he was held at the Orange County Jail until his conviction in 2005. So he spent from 2002 to 2005 in jail. And that shit doesn't even count toward the time he has to spend when he's sentenced.
Well, at least they don't give him time served.
That's true. That's true.
Sometimes they get time served.
I know. According to court documents, calls from Avila's cell phone were made in Samantha's neighborhood on the day of her abduction. His bank card was used to rent a motel room the same day. Samantha, who was kept alive for several hours after the kidnapping, is believed to have been molested and ultimately killed in that hotel room. Avila's DNA was found on Samantha's body, and her DNA was found in his vehicle. So,
I'm pretty sure I've mentioned this before, but when you acquit someone of molestation, they only learn to kill their victim.
Right.
So they can get away with it next
right.
time.
Right.
That's the only thing that happens with acquittals.
Right. Well,
you let them go, they just start killing.
It says here at the end of my pod, but I'm just going to say it now because you brought it up. Avila had been acquitted of molesting two girls in 2001 in neighboring Riverside County, and authorities said they believe he killed Samantha to avoid another trial.
Bingo.
But here's the thing. This motherfucker was stupid.
They all are.
Because it was like, and please don't misunderstand me. This guy's a piece of shit and does not deserve to breathe the air. The particulate air.
Any air.
But it was like he wasn't even trying. Mm-hmm. It was like he wanted to get caught. Yeah. And thank God they did, because who, God only knows how many kids are safe because this guy's in prison. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, I do have some notes regarding this as well. During his 2005 murder trial, the prosecution revealed an ongoing conversation between Avila and another sex offender on a file-sharing program. The sex offender, who was not called for the trial, is believed to have been in Europe. In the conversation, Avila and the pedophile boasted about molesting young girls.
That's disgusting.
They're online bragging about this disgusting filth.
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Both agreed it was wrong to molest a child related to oneself, but okay if the child was a stranger. So, yeah. So that's Alejandro Avila, piece of shit extraordinaire. Mm-hmm. Let's see. Samantha's mother, Erin Runyon, I believe, who was a single mother. I could be wrong on that, but I believe she was a single mom. I don't know where dad was. She thanked jurors, law enforcement authorities, prosecutors, and the media during a news conference. She said, I feel tremendous relief that Samantha's fight was not in vain. And it feels really good that he is guilty, because nobody should get away with this. Mm-mm. So, there you go.
Nobody. You know what, though? If he hadn't killed her, and he would have been arrested for raping her or molesting
right,
her, he'd be out on the streets again.
Yeah.
And then he would have killed someone else.
Yeah.
Or done the same thing with someone else.
Right.
And then he would have been out on the streets again.
Again, yeah.
Because they don't take this thing seriously.
Right, right. Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It is. What a pig. And just what an absolute waste of human fucking space.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Waste of a life.
So what you got?
So I have a alleged serial killer that ended up uncovering a whole bunch of stuff in the surrounding police departments as well. So it's gonna make my profession look really bad, but this one looked really interesting, so I wanted to learn more about it.
Be the change you want.
Yeah, yeah. So, sorry, police officers, but you know what happens. So, but it's not everyone, you know. So here we go. I'm gonna talk about the Jeff Davis 8. So this is kind of like this. What?
Sorry, it's funny
Jeff.
Because I work with a guy named Jeff Davis.
Oh. Sorry.
Anyway, it's okay.
So this kind of reminded me of the Long Island serial killer. Because, just a bunch of girls went missing. And then the more that they dug into it. You know, my favorite podcaster, Billy Jensen.
Yes.
He did a Long Island serial killer podcast and documentary on HBO.
We watched the
more that they dug into it, the more that they were seeing it was a police cover-up. Mm. So they think it was someone in the police force that was doing all this murdering.
And that's frightening.
And it's just a big cover-up.
It is.
So this is kind of what this was. So we're gonna let's dive into the details.
Dig in.
So the Jeff Davis 8, sometimes called the Jennings 8, refers to a series of unsolved murders in Jefferson Davis Parish, Louisiana, between 2005 and 2009. The bodies of 8 women were found in swamps and canals surrounding Jennings, Louisiana. So they're named after where they were found. Most of the bodies were found in such a state of decomposition that they were almost unable to determine the cause of death. Mm. So here we go. So this investigative reporter, Ethan Brown, during his investigation, uncovered how police investigations have been plagued by missteps in the sheriff's office, contributing to lost or missing evidence. So I'm pretty sure that this would be solved if it weren't because of all of this right now.
Got it.
So yeah. Ethan Brown's work revealed that there are multiple suspects in the Jeff Davis 8 case, and that therefore it is unlikely that this is a serial killer case. All right, so it might not be a serial killer. He also revealed that law enforcement's own witnesses have named members of local law enforcement as suspects in the case. So,
wow.
It goes all the way to the top!
That is insane.
So, here we go. Victims. Loretta Lewis, 28, was found floating in a river by fishermen on May 20th, 2005. And then we have Ernestine Marie Daniels Patterson, who was 30. Kristen Gary Lopez, 21. Whitney Dubois, 26. Laconia Muggy, quote unquote, Brown, 23. Crystal Shea Benoit Zeno, 24. And Brittany Gary, 17. The final body of Nicole Guillory, 26, was found off Interstate 10 in 2009. So the girl Patterson, Ernestine, and Laconia had their throats slit. The other bodies were too advanced state of decomposition to determine their cause of death. But they think that they were just asphyxiated. Mm. Probably.
And
allegedly.
I'm sorry, I must have drifted off there. Refresh my memory where this took place?
Louisiana.
Okay, thank you.
So, Ethan Brown's work revealed many tangled connections between victims, suspects, and the police. Most of the victims knew each other well. Some were related by blood. So, Kristen Gary Lopez and Brittany Gary were cousins.
Mm, okay.
Or they lived together. So, Gary lived with Crystal Benoit shortly before her death. Okay. So, that's three ties.
Yeah.
The victims also shared in common traits such as poverty, mental illness, and histories of drug abuse and sex work. Mm. So, essentially, just like picking off people who they don't think is gonna matter.
Nobody's gonna. I think there's a term that police use. It's called no humans involved.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Which is disgusting because everyone is a human.
This is someone's daughter.
Yeah.
Just because what she does doesn't make her any less human than everyone else.
Exactly.
And the women were also informants for the police about local drug trade. And often provided police with information about other Jeff Davis 8 victims before their own deaths.
Oh my gosh.
So it was like, ooh, she knows too much. Bang.
I have goosebumps.
Ooh,
right
she
now.
Knows too much. Bang. Oh, wow. Yeah. That's just what allegedly. So Kristen Lopez, one of the victims, was present when police shot and killed a drug dealer named Leonard Crochet in 2005. Along with several individuals connected to the Jeff Davis 8 case, including Alvin Bootsy Lewis, who fathered a child with victim Whitney Dubois, and is also the brother-in-law of the first victim, Loretta Lewis. Mm-hmm. A grand jury investigated the shooting and determined there was no probable cause for a charge of negligent homicide against police, even though a Louisiana State Police investigation into the Crochet shooting concluded that he was unarmed when he was shot to death by law enforcement.
Oh boy.
Which is why today we have so many use of force trainings. Because I went to school for criminal justice, and every unit, we studied use of force and how to properly use of force. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
I was going to ask you one day if they ever taught you that.
Yeah. No? Yeah, they
and
do.
I never did.
So yeah, they do.
Glad to hear they did.
It has to be reasonable and necessary, and if you use too much force, you could be charged. Like, say someone punches you and you shoot them in the face. Mm-hmm. Well, that's excessive force.
Right.
But if someone punches you and you place them in handcuffs or you tase them, then that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
It's like tit for tat. Yeah. You know? It can't be excessive, is what they call it, excessive force. So,
I was going to say something, but it would be inflammatory, and I'm just really not interested in saying inflammatory.
Let's not
things.
Say anything inflammatory. However, witnesses told investigators they believe the police had killed many of the victims because of what they knew about the shooting of Leonard Crochet. Oh, wow. So it's a big cover-up. It goes all the way to the top.
My God.
In December 2008, a task force consisting of 14 federal, state, and law enforcement agencies was formed to solve the killings. From the outset, the task force was searching for a serial killer. However, because of Ethan Brown and his investigative work, exposing connections between victims and suspects, and the police cast doubt on the theory that the Jeff Davis 8 is the work of a serial killer. Family members of the victims suspect the police are actually responsible for their deaths. Because they knew too much.
Wow.
So, because of this and the task force, the task force investigative reports revealed a series of witness interviews in which local law enforcement were implicated in the murders. Statements from two female inmates portrayed suspects working with the sheriff's office to dispose of evidence in the Lopez case. However, the sergeant who took the statements was forced out of his jobs and the allegations were ignored by law enforcement.
Of course.
So it's huge corruption
huge
here.
Cover up.
Sheriff's Office Chief Criminal Investigator Warren Gary was also accused of purchasing a truck suspected of having been used to transport a body for the purpose of discarding evidence. No relation to the other Gary girls.
I was going to ask. I was like, wait a second. There was right? They were cousins.
Yeah. In 2009, the sheriff ordered that every investigator working the Jeff Davis 8 case be swabbed for DNA in response to the accusations against investigators. However, the office refuses to comment on the results of the DNA testings.
Well, that's probably because it's incriminating. So, if it exonerated them all, they'd be like, it exonerates them. They're not guilty. They didn't do it.
If it had exonerated them, they would have posted their findings.
Right. They would have had a press conference about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We ain't dumb.
Right.
We just uneducated.
So, police have arrested or issued warrants for the arrest of 4 people in connection with the case. 2 people were held on murder charges for months before being released due to issues with evidence. Frankie Richard, a local strip club owner and suspected drug dealer, admitted to being a crack addict and to having sex with most of the victims. He was among those last seen with one of the victims, Kristen Lopez. Law enforcement's own witnesses have connected Richard to the sheriff's office. The 2 female inmates who stated the sheriff's office disposed of evidence in the Lopez case alleged that the evidence was discarded at the behest of Richard.
Wow.
Money, that's all it takes, uh-huh. Right?
Cash is king.
Byron Chad Jones and Lawrence Nixon, a cousin of the 5th victim, Laconia Brown, were briefly charged with second-degree murder in the Ernestine Patterson case. However, the sheriff's office did not test the alleged crime scene until 15 months after Patterson's murder and found it failed to demonstrate the presence of blood.
Well,
obviously, because it had been a year and a half.
Yeah. And where was she found? In the swamp?
Yeah.
Louisiana.
In the water. Most of them were found in water.
And there you go.
And they were too decomposed. So yeah. At a certain point, the decomposition isn't going to show anything.
Yeah. What did they do? Wade out into the water and see if there was blood in it?
Right.
Give me a fucking break.
And they had probably been in there so long that any evidence had been washed away anyway. So it didn't matter.
Absolutely. Yeah. So. Now, please don't misunderstand us, listeners. We're not talking about every cop. We know that there are more good cops than there are bad cops. We're just pissed at the bad ones.
Yeah. So,
please don't pull me over.
Right. So the murders investigations were featured in several other media offerings. Oh. In 2011, an investigative podcast series, Behind the Yellow Tape.
I've seen that one.
On Blog Talk Radio.
Uh-huh.
They did a 12-episode podcast about it. in 2012 an episode of the series Dark Minds, in which the show host M. William Phelps visited the area and interviewed several people connected to the case. In 2016, book Murder in the Bayou, Who Killed the Women Known as the Jeff Davis Eight, by author Ethan Brown. I've seen this one on the shelf.
That would be an interesting read.
Yeah. Part of the True Crime Tuesday series in 2018 on the Dr. Oz Show. And then the 2019 two-part investigation discovery documentary series, Death in the Bayou. 2019 five-part series, Murder in the Bayou, on the Showtime Network. And then in 2021, a two-part podcast on The Casual Criminalist. Despite speculation, the Jeff Davis 8 cases were not the inspiration for the first season of the HBO series True Detective.
Are you sure?
In case you are wondering.
Oh, what is it that they say, that disclaimer? Any likeness to any character or situation is purely coincidental?
Yeah. and I'm sure that's what the show creator was alleging. So
I'm sure that they probably did a wide overview of it, because they couldn't make it exact.
So that's kind of all I had on it.
Wow.
It sounds just like a huge cover up by police.
Yeah.
Hidden evidence, discarded evidence.
Right.
People knowing things but not saying things.
That's crazy. And that has to be like very nearly like a lot of the PD down there. Like,
or anywhere.
I mean, but just for this one particular case.
Oh yeah, it has to be either
all the officers that have to cover all that shit up.
Yeah, a cover up is a huge, huge. Like all the higher ups have to know about it. Like it's not just, you know, a couple of random, you know, street cops trying to cover up a murder.
Right.
Like
it isn't the cookies that you told me not to eat that I ate and didn't tell you.
Yeah, it's like
I'm kidding. I didn't eat your cookies.
I counted them, I know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's... I'm sure there's more about it. I'm sure that 12-part podcast really dives deep into the murder. And then Ethan Brown's book, since he investigated the whole thing, is going to be really insightful.
I'll have to read that book. Maybe I'll try to find it.
We have a list of true crime books right now. It's like a pile on my... nightstand right now that I have to get through. Currently I'm reading Unmasked by Paul Holes.
Great book.
It's incredible.
That was my Mother's Day gift from Jenna. And
My Mother's Day gift to myself.
And she bought two. You're welcome, Paul.
I accidentally bought two.
but I think I read the book in 3 days. It was so good.
Yeah, she couldn't put it down.
I could not put it down.
She was actually in the middle of reading another book and was so frustrated that she had to finish the other book because she didn't want to forget what was going on in that one. She's like, ugh, I gotta finish this book before I can finish Paul Hole's book.
Yep. Oh, such a good book. Such a good book. And I'm on kind of a reading kick right now anyway. And I think I just got you...
A charcuterie kit.
A charcuterie kit? Yeah.
I like to make charcuterie. I'm very artistic, and so I experiment in every avenue.
Yes, she does.
Recently, I made a table out of bottle caps for a friend of mine who just bought a house, and it was a housewarming gift.
Yeah. It's very artistic, guys. Most of the art that's on the walls in our house was done by her.
I make dream catchers. I crochet. I paint. I cook.
Yeah.
I clean, but let me tell you, I got this ring.
Yeah. The cooking is phenomenal. So all you fellas out there, first of all, if you have a job, getting off topic here.
First of all, if you got money.
Yeah. But,
So that's awesome. Jeff Davis 8. Okay. Of course, we don't end our podcast on a negative note.
No.
We always have to have a highlight.
Highlights!
So, since you went first, what was your highlight this week?
My highlight... I have to broad stroke this, okay? But, because I can't... You know the minute details, but I can't broadcast the minute details just yet. Where I work.
Okay, yes.
Yeah, you're like, what are
I know
you
a lot of
about?
Details about a lot of things. Yeah. You're going to have to narrow it down for me.
Yeah, so where I work, I have been looking to promote for quite some time. I got a promotion last year, but it's looking really close, like I want, like I may be getting the next step relatively quickly. Once I make this next step, this is the pinnacle of my career. Like, this is where
she caps.
I cap. I have made it. I'm going to coast that until it's time to retire or die. But that's the pinnacle of my career, and I'm so close. But some things had to happen in order to for this to happen for me. And a few small things have happened already, but one of the major things that needed to happen
finally happened.
It happened.
Woo!
We found out. We were so excited. My boss and I. I have an amazing boss. She's just wonderful. My team. I know one of my teammates listens to this podcast. So that should narrow it down. You know who you are. So anyway, so this thing happened, and just really excited. I'm hoping, Jeff and I have a bet, because I'm saying it probably won't happen till the new year, and he's saying he thinks it'll happen before the end of the year. So we bet $20.
All right.
So, you know, we'll see. And there is one little tidbit that I'd like to interject. I would like to call this a practical pointer. And I'm going to bore you guys with these things, but these are things that I've seen and deal with, and I just, these are safety items. Or common courtesy items, which
like
you and I both
using
know.
Your blinker when you're going
right.
to change lanes or turn into a parking lot.
Right, or, you know, because we all know that common courtesy is not that common. So I'm going to go with this practical pointer. Don't, what sucks is that this should go without saying, but it needs to be said.
Mm-hmm.
Don't walk and text at the same time. Put the phone down, put the screen down, don't look at things, pay attention to where you're walking, but more importantly, be aware of your surroundings.
Oh, this happens a lot in our complex.
Yeah, because the other day I was witness to something. Thank God nothing happened, but it was a sketchy kind of thing that I was witnessing, and this young man was walking down the little road with his, you know, and he always does it. I see him every day with his cell phone in his face. And it's just, you know, so for your own safety and for the safety of others, put the cell phone down while you're walking. You're not supposed to use it while you're driving, but we all know you do anyway. It's equally as dangerous when you're walking.
Yeah. There was actually a lady who was walking using her phone at night, and someone was following her, and a couple noticed that this person
right.
was following her,
uh-huh.
and they walked up to her and they were like, hey, do you know that guy
yeah.
who's following you? And she was like, no, I don't. But she didn't notice because she
yeah.
was on her phone.
She had no idea he was there until the man of the couple went over there and approached her and
mm-hmm.
was like, hey, did you know that that guy's there following you? She had no idea.
Yeah. But also for your own bodily health as well, because I will admit, I had my phone to my face one time. I was walking down the stairs when I was walking the dog, and this was when I was training for my run, my mile and a half run, and I thought that I had made it all the way down the stairs, but I still had one more to go. So I took a step, but I missed the step, and I rolled my ankle. And I still had to be running. I was
yeah.
training to run. Every single day I was
yeah.
running. And it hurt. I was
yeah.
sore for days and days and days, and I couldn't take off because I needed to train.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Well, and how many funny videos have you seen? Reels?
People
or
who
whatever.
Walk into canals
People
or fountains
right.
or poles
right.
or...
Yeah.
you know, I see people all the time walk into the street with their phone to their nose and they don't look for cars coming. I've had it happen to me where I'm driving down the street and someone walks into the street without looking and I have to slam on my brakes.
Right. So it's a practical pointer. You know, it may be boring as fuck, but you know what? It's because I care. We care.
It can wait. It's not so important that it can't wait.
The world is not going to come to an end in a minute. Just, you know, relax. Everybody relax.
Yeah.
So. What was your highlight?
I think that I have a lot of stuff that's really cool going on right now, but we started a new podcast.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be my highlight. My girlfriends and I started a new podcast, and this is kind of just going to be a podcast about our adulting journey through life.
There you go. Very nice.
So each episode is going to be a different theme where we talk about some things that we went through,
mm-hmm.
and then kind of the advice that we have for each other, because the three of us have different, we've been through a lot of the same things, but we have different point of views about them.
Yes.
So we kind of just give each other the tips and pointers that we've come across, and then hopefully other people can relate about the things that they have been through, and then hopefully this advice helps people.
Mm-hmm.
Our first episode was about relationships, so we talked about the things that aren't talked about, if you know what I mean.
I do.
And we kind of dived into detail because one of my friends did not know the whole details, and then when it got to me and her and the things that we don't talk about, the other one didn't know all the details. So it was like a huge triangle of things.
Yeah.
And it was nice to kind of put it all out on the table and talk about it and get it off.
Because these are your besties.
And unload it. Yes.
And they have been for years.
Yes. And if you listen to the podcast and you hear the story, you're like, how the frick are you guys friends? Because of the crap that we've put each other through.
Right.
And it's incredible, but I don't know. So don't ask me how, because I don't know. And they don't know either, so don't ask them.
It's the women's bond that you guys have with each other.
Yeah,
it's
so it's kind of the a good example of, like, growing into becoming a real woman and not being, and I say this in that episode, not being catty and actually rooting for each other.
Absolutely.
You know, because
that's what we're supposed to be doing.
The relationship started with trying to one up each other and be better than each other, and then after a while it was like, what the F?
Yeah.
You know, why are we putting these people ahead of our relationship when these people royally fucked us over?
Right.
And we talk about it. These people royally fucked us over,
mm-hmm.
and used us and our friendship against us to do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so now that we finally kicked those other people out of our lives, we've become friends again, and we talk about that in the first episode. And the next episode, I'm not sure, but the podcast is called Conjuring Shade, which is a witchy version of throwing shade.
Yeah.
So we're going to be throwing shade out there.
Now, I, as your mother, you wouldn't be bothered if I listened to it, would you?
No.
Okay.
I mean, if you're more than welcome to, you're probably going to hear some things that you're like, I didn't even know that was going on. Holy shit.
I mean, I know a lot, but I'm certain
you don't know,
I don't
all
know everything.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Okay. So we named it Yesterday. It's our new baby, and it hasn't been launched yet. It's still in the works because I again in the media and marketing. So we're kind of coming up with our logo and, you know, the photo, and you have to create a new email, and we have to make a new Instagram, and it's just like, it's a lot of work to create a new podcast. But I'm super excited to launch the episode. It's
awesome.
Been recorded. It's ready to go. It's just I have to make the time to get it set up completely,
mm-hmm.
and then get their okay to put it out on the in the world, and then it'll be ready to share with everyone. So first episode has been recorded. We'll probably release every other week because of the kids. It's kind of hard to record when you have kids. It's very loud. They always want something from you when you're busy, and so it's going to be like a twice monthly episode.
And the only time I babysit for free is when she's working or furthering her career.
Yeah.
And that's just because we live in the same house.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, and of course we could go to my friend's house who has her kids and they could go inside and play. But if you record outside, you have cars and police and dogs and cats and ratchet neighbors and people fighting and then their kids coming out wanting mom and her screaming at them and me screaming at mine and it's just a whole fuster cluck. So that's my highlight, is starting that new podcast. I'm really excited about it. Also making that new table. I got to give it to my friend.
Yeah, it was super cool.
Yesterday, super I wanted to make sure I got it to him before Father's Day. And I know he's been really busy with work and his new house. And so it was cool to be able to make time to give it to him on Friday. Nice. So, yeah, that's it.
Excellent.
And I already gave you my two cents on the helpful tidbit of the information.
Practical pointer.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, of course, you can follow us on Instagram at highcrimes_podcast.
Yep. Like, comment, follow,
subscribe.
Subscribe.
Whatever you want to do. Love our listeners. Share. I've noticed we've gotten a lot of listens lately, which is really awesome. Yeah, and hopefully we are going to continue to keep this up as long as I don't get burned out and overwhelmed by all of life.
Same, because if I get that promotion, it might, I might burn out pretty quick.
So. July is going to be a busy month.
All right. Jenna gets to start her dirty 30s.
My dirty 30s, graduation. I have to go to the DMV because on Friday, I was supposed to go. And so my job, you can't just take a half day. My job requires me to be with someone at all times throughout the whole shift. So I can't just take a half day. Mm-hmm. So I have to take a whole day off if I need to take care of an appointment or do something. And the DMV is closed on Saturdays. So I made an appointment. I was already going to have the day off for this funeral. I went in the morning and the whole entire state of California's DMV system was down. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me right now? She was like, you can wait. You can wait if you want to, but we don't know when. And, it's going to be back up. And it had been like half an hour. I was there before I called you because I had to, go online and get my information and my confirmation code information. Anyway, and then I called you and then I called the person that I was going to be going to the funeral with. Mm-hmm. And it had been like half an hour, 45 minutes. And the same number was up on the screen and nothing was happening. And I was like, I'm not going to sit here for 2 hours. I'm going to go and get breakfast and relax at home where I'm comfortable and just worry about it another day. Yeah. So, that happened.
Yeah.
So I have to make another appointment in July because my license expires in July. Oh, so.
I think mine is good for one more year.
So, yeah. But that's that. Again, follow, subscribe, rate, review, comment. Be nice because we're sensitive. Share.
We would love it if you would refer your friends.
Other than that, have a great rest of your week and we'll see you or talk to you again next week.
Bye.
Bye.